We'll call the Alloy Planning Commission meeting to order. It is Monday, February the 24th, 2014. It is 6:31 at the Alloy Village Hall. First agenda topic, called meeting to order and roll call. Roll.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Retzloff.
Here.
Koppenrud.
Here.
Collada, present. And then we have our new member is not here tonight, Mr. David Dorn. And then you mentioned Judy has resigned, and Adam Perillo has resigned because of other commitments. So we are not missing anybody tonight.
Penny Dart.
Oh, Penny, Trustee Dart. Yes. Did, was she excused? Or?
She did not get home yet.
Okay. Agenda topic two, modify, adopt the agenda. Everyone had an opportunity to look at it.
Move to adopt the agenda.
And let the roll call show. Trustee Dart is here.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adopt the agenda as is. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Agenda topic three, minutes from the January 27, 2014 meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to review? Any changes, modifications? Then I would accept a motion.
Move to adopt.
By Retzloff?
Actually, I'll do the second. Penny had her up.
Oh, okay. Trustee Dart made the motion. Retzloff made the second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Moving on to agenda topic four, announcements. Tracy, anything?
I just have a couple. Just want to let you know that in March we'll start having meetings again on Hoffman Road. So any of you that are serving on either of the two committees, we'll get something out to you letting you know when the meetings are, the dates that happen.
Hoffman or Riverside?
Riverside, okay. Riverside, sorry. Hoffman is another path. So it is Riverside. So we'll get you information out, but plan in March sometime. The CSM that was approved at your last meeting for the three lots on East St. Joseph and East River did go to Village Board and was approved at their meeting. We signed the CSM today. It came in from Broad County and has been approved to them. So I would think this spring sometime we might see some development of homes on those three lots just down the way. As Chris mentioned, Judy has resigned from the committee. She is actually up in April and she's out of town, so she will not be back at all. But I just wanted to thank Judy for all the years that she did put in to the committee. And I understand she maybe has a new hometown in Florida, so that's why she will no longer serve on the committee. And as Chris mentioned, Dave Dorn is one of our new members, and he is also on the park committee, and he is on the board of review as well. So we welcome him, and he will be here in March. He was hoping he could make it tonight, but he was really last-minute notice. He was just appointed last Tuesday, so I was like, all of a sudden, okay, we have a meeting on Monday. So he was not able to make it tonight, but he's excited to get started and will hopefully be here at the March meeting. And then the last thing, I just want to let you know, Cornerstone Apartments, the ones on Hilltop Way, the Harry Michael Project will not be back until the March meeting. So that's when we'll come back to you, and they will be going through. My understanding is site plan review process rather than
EPD. I guess one question, Tracy, on the announcements for Judy. Does the village have a policy or something that we send a thank you for serving a certain number of years, or is it just, is the verbal good enough? I just wanted to ask that question.
We do, I think it's 10 years or more.
Okay.
Some recognition. But the village president, actually, at our next village board meeting, we're going to be talking about different ways to recognize our committee members and recruitment of committee members and try to get some more policy and procedure in place for that. So that may change a little bit because there definitely is a great appreciation for everything that all of you do on the different committees that the residents serve on.
Any other comments or any other announcements? Planning Commission? Nothing?
Oh, sure.
Oh.
Just a brief announcement. I went to the Economic Development Committee meeting a few weeks ago, and there were two presentations there. One was a presentation that Barb gave on the Historical Preservation Committee's intensive survey that they did. And then there was a separate presentation on an economic study, a real estate study for the old Village Hall site. And I think it would be great if we could see both of those studies, or both of those presentations here sometime in the future.
Who gave those presentations?
Fred Monahan.
And Barb. And I did.
Barb.
Now, are any of those, like, if Fred maybe can't come to this group, but do we have the PowerPoint or whatever material so we can at least go through it?
Yeah, we have the report that he did, don't we? And Stacy and Tracy can email it.
Can't email it. We tried that. It's too big.
It's pretty large.
So we can certainly get it out to you to look at. And I can talk to Fred. Maybe he would be willing to come to me. Otherwise, maybe between myself and maybe Penny, having sat through it, and even Roger, we could get a bit of the high points of it. But it was very interesting. There's a computer program that generates a ton of information on any commercial site, and that's what he had plugged it into and presented the report and had a lot of really good information on that.
Would that, is that specific just to the Village Hall site, or would it also be applicable to some of the other? I know we had talked in the past about how many vacant potential business parcels do we have in the village, and I mean, part of it's the identification so we can get that word out.
The report itself was just specific to the old Village Hall site,
but it was a 5-mile radius within that, so from other areas of the village.
It's a standard development tool that's used for retail parcels. Any developer that has does a larger type of volume of business would use this type of study to assess what type of retail, what type of development to pursue for that, based on how many other type. The concentration of development throughout the area. So that's a pretty clumsy way of explaining it, but I think it's valuable for us to know about and see how the system works. So,
especially with Riverside and other projects coming up in the near future.
Well, we have a lot of. I think the village has a lot of issues with potential with sites that have a lot of potential for development. So the question is, how can we help the Economic Development Committee in pursuing improvement of those commercial sites? Perhaps some of the sites need to be rezoned, but this is a tool that we should know that developers are using, and maybe we can find out if there's a way to have some other understanding what developers are looking for in this area that could help us plan for improvement of our commercial sites. So.
Thank you for the suggestion. I guess we can deal with this under item number 10 later on for the next meeting agenda topics, if that's appropriate. Okay. Any other announcements? Hearing none, let's move on to agenda topic 5, public appearances. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak tonight? Please come up and say your name and address, or we'll copy it from the minutes from last time.
I'm Daphne Shadow. I live at 552. I'm not going to take too much of your time tonight because the Hilltop Apartments isn't on the agenda. But at the last meeting, there was some discussion about some of the things need to be considered when you're deliberating on review of the submittal for the Hilltop Apartments. And we went through and I did some research, and in our statutes there are some very clear steps and very clear guidance on different things that you need to consider in your deliberations. So, again, I don't want to take too much of your time, and I don't want to insult anybody. Don't read this tonight, but take it along with you. It's kind of coming up in March, we'll be looking at it again. So that's all I have, and I thank you for your time, and I'll hand these out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What was your address, Pat?
552.
Yes.
He was at the last.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And can you make sure Tracy gets a copy, or I can give it to Tracy? Sorry. Okay. And Pat, this is, you didn't mean, you meant ordinances next.
Ordinance.
Right, okay.
Ordinance.
Yep, just, yeah. That's what I thought you meant.
I just highlighted the area where it really kind of starts and then it breaks it down. And as you go through it, it's public record. It's in the statutes or ordinances. But if you go through those, you'll see they're quite large. So thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to give public comment tonight? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda topic 6, approval of certified survey map for 414 West Lazar Avenue. Tracy, is there anything from a staff perspective?
And there isn't too much. Can you see? Basically, this is closed across Silver County right now as well. Looking at it from the building inspector's viewpoint, the lots meet the standards for any residential development. There obviously are some constraints on these properties because of ESA and the floodplain that's in there, and the developer is aware of that. He has been, we've talked to him about that. So there will be maybe some challenges on developing the lots, but they do meet the standards as far as size of the lots, but they'll just have to see how they can get the homes in there to fit. This is, like I said, going through the county's review right now, and they have some things that they're working on with the developer or the surveyor right now. And Steve, I don't know if you've gotten the comments back from
the county.
Yeah, there isn't anything real major with the county's comments, but as far as the village is concerned, they do meet our requirements for the lot size.
And Tracy, both the zoning and the one parcel, I guess that would be lot 2 off of Lazar Avenue, there's already a home there now. That zone residential, what about the other in the back? I drove over there this morning just to take a look at that. That's vacant right now, and that's also zone residential?
Yes, it's all one parcel right now.
Okay.
And I was not subdividing it into two, and it is all a residential.
So the purpose is to sell off the other lot? Or
yes.
Developing?
My understanding is they're just taking one big lot and they're dividing it into two so that they would be able to build full lots, and I believe they're going to be removing the homes that are there.
Okay.
The home that is on
the south side. Okay. So there's a line here for building setback, but the setback line looks as if it's designed, it's set it for the two lots, the two contiguous lots, or the original single lot, and they haven't been adjusted for the two lots. Is that necessary? I don't see a setback line for the new property line that divides.
They would, on the front, the...
Okay. There is some sort of setback you're showing on the for the northmost line of the north lot, which is not dimensioned, but... It's just confusing, I guess. So.
Yeah, usually we wouldn't show that on that.
So how would this lot be accessed?
It's not.
The second lot would be accessed off Bathurst.
River Lane Street, actually.
Yeah, River Lane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, River Lane.
Okay.
And then Tracy, does the Public Works Department permit that for a driveway, or is it just part of the process? How does that work for a new driveway?
It would be part of the process. What will happen is once the survey map is approved and they meet all the criteria set forth, then the developer will have to come back with plans for the homes and how they will front and where they will sit. And at that time, we'll look at driveways, and there will be a permit required to get the driveways. off of the River Lane Street, and then off of Lazar, if there's some desire to maybe put their garage to the back and have them access off of Lazar, they would have to get a permit for that as well.
That's a real ice rink down there. It was a lot of ice. Any other comments, questions from the Planning Commission?
Is Lazar paved beyond River Lane to the river?
No, I don't believe it is. I think it's just gravel or dirt.
Okay, so because this village requires all driveways to be paved now, the village would have to pave Lazar, wouldn't it?
That would be something we have to, if they decide they want to have a driveway off of Lazar, that is something we would have to work out and see if they wanted it there, that how that would be handled. So just right now we don't know exactly how they're going to configure their homes and how they're going to handle it. But if there is access needed off Lazar, that would be something we'll have to work on with them, with the building inspector.
Okay.
Tracy, is Lazar, is that where there's the canoe launch down there? So that's something the village does have an interest, especially if there's that heritage way that people might be coming in with whatever small type of boat. So that's, and that's not an impact on the property. It's just something we need to remember that from the parks perspective. Is there anything that concerns Brad had from the Parks Department on this or not really?
You know, he really doesn't. We have a piece of property back there, you know. There's enough there that we can have a launch and we have access to it. And then the property to the south of Lazar is actually owned by Heritage Hill. So there's also, you know, some flexibility that way, and they're always pretty willing to work with us as far as parking here and that type of thing. So the development of this will not really impact that. I mean, you'll have a home there. There's homes there now, but we don't see it as anything that would negatively affect.
Well, my point is we need to keep Lazar because it does access the river and that access. Yep. So,
but for both houses, the front yard would be facing River Lane because that's where the 30-foot setback is, right?
That would be my understanding.
Okay. And then do they have access to that sanitary sewer that runs along the river? Is that where they would be tying in?
I'm not sure.
Or do you know, is there sewer or water available? Would there be mains in River Lane, sewer and water?
I don't know. There potentially might be, but I'm not sure if there is. I know one thing that the county had on here is, on their review, is that there had to be a 12-foot setback for, or a 12-foot easement for utilities along River Lane Street as well as along the back. And that's something we will have to add to the CSM to get final approval through the front point.
Is it normal to have the River Lane and the Fox River Trail, they're kind of out of phase? It's like they need little arrows pointing into the actual space. Because it's the eastmost 33-foot right-of-way, that's the Fox River Trail. And then the next, the west 33-foot right-of-way, that's River Lane. Correct?
Right.
Okay. And it would make sense to make it as clear as possible rather than have.
I'm not certain at this point if the Fox River Trail is 33 or 66, but I could find out. I didn't think it would be that much, but.
Okay. Now, there are homes north of this area, these two, north of these two parcels, but it's marked unplatted lands.
That's correct.
But there are property lines.
It's never been platted as a subdivision or certified city map. That's okay. Why it's called unplatted. It was probably created via a deed or somehow at one point, but that would get the designation of unplatted.
So there's some legal description out there, but it's just not.
There's a description of it that was created somewhere. Not just technical planning status according to the IFC, but that would be for the safety of the state standards.
Any other questions from the Planning Commission?
Just one question. Did I hear that the homes on these two lots are required to face River Lane, or that's just desired. It appeared, and I can't remember, I was there 2 days ago, I can't recall, but it looks like the existing home is pretty much facing the design.
Right, it is.
And so there's no misunderstanding, it can't face that way.
Anything new would require the 30-foot front yard setback. On the corner side yard can be 15 feet. That's what the ordinance says. I just looked at it.
So I didn't ask that specifically, that would change because the owner said, well, what if I want to make it so it faces this way? I said, I don't know what you're doing, but I was going to expect to make sure.
Yeah, I think the building inspector is incorrect.
Yeah,
The spirit of that law.
I have that right here if you want me to read that. The side yard regulations in A and B, this is for the A residence district, shall apply to all lots except corner lots. The side yard on the street side of a corner lot shall have a width of not less than 50% of the front yard depth required on the lots. So the front has to be 30 and the street side can be 15. Is how I'm reading it. Right. If you look at that Lazar Avenue as the front yard setback, or as the front yard, you need at least a minimum of 15 feet for the rear yard, so that house that's there right now is not in compliance with that either, because you need either 20% of the rear yard lot depth, no more than 30 feet, and no less than 15 feet. So they... He could have access off of Lazar as long as the front door faces River Lane, isn't the way that it was always interpreted.
So the house would be okay.
But looking at the configuration now, the front door is accessed off Lazar. So, right. So if they build something new, though, the front door has to be facing River Lane, unless that's changed since I was here. But that's how that was always interpreted.
No, I believe you are correct on that, because my discussion with the building inspector was the front yard, the river, that access, or the address would be River Lane Street. But if there was a desire to have access for a garage or something off the Lazar, that could potentially be worked out, but the front of the house would be South River.
The existing house, not in compliance, what if they were not to change that? They could still buy the lot without removing that house, can they not? It's already there, and they've already been...
But by creating that second lot, you're almost throwing it into nonconformity.
Yeah. That's going to be a huge problem. Again, that's why I'm interested here, because this guy is both building this thing.
Is this other house, though, do they plan on raising the other house, though?
He didn't build it.
Okay.
And I'll have to double check on that, because my discussions with him have always been that he's planning to raise that house. And I don't know what his discussions have been specifically with the building inspector, but my understanding from talking with Dan, it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah, he's going to raise it, that's fine, but that wasn't my discussion. But I just didn't want to put it more to him and make the decision unless he made the vote.
Yeah, I can check on that if you wanted to approve it contingent on, the building inspector, whether that house that's existing could be left there, even though it would be in if that would be allowed or if that would not be subdivided lots.
Well, it's non-conforming now. It's only 24.7 feet back. So it's an existing non-conforming structure.
15 for a minimum, or 20% of the lot depth?
the second lot, there's a dashed line about a third of the way north from the south, like dividing property line. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's an old underlying parcel line.
It's a what?
It's an underlying parcel line where some other properties created here at one point in time. So that's, it's something that was just decided to be using parcel line.
Okay. Then it doesn't. Will it be moot or non?
Well, we're flatting over the top of it, so essentially we'll do it.
Any other comments? Questions? Now, Tracy, is there any other, besides this being non-conforming, could this go to, like, the Board of Appeals to reduce the setback, or what other options are there? Besides, I think we talked about for tonight, if the Planning Commission desires to make a motion to recommend moving forward with a contingency.
You know, it could go to, if it had to go to the Board of Appeals for, you know, a variance for the setback. But, you know, I don't know, and I think it's something you just check with Dan, maybe it isn't an issue. I don't know, I didn't specifically ask him that, I should have, but I mean, we've talked a lot with the builder and the owner, and Dan has had a lot of discussions with them on different aspects of it.
Well, between the river and the railroad right away, I mean, there's the state trail, there's really not a lot of room here. Is it better to have something that's on the tax rolls that maybe get two homes? We talk about higher and best use of the property versus not. So, and this is already residential in our land use comprehensive plan.
Yeah, I mean, it is a residential. The home that is there really is in poor condition. So it would be a definite improvement to the area to match more of the homes that are further to the north. But yeah, I'm just not positive on how that would work if they did not, you know, raise it right away and decide to rebuild.
Well, I would personally like to see some of these questionable indications corrected before it's approved. You know, we could provide a condition. I would think we could do some sort of conditional recommendation for approval, provided that the drawings have been corrected and show accurate information consistent with our current zoning code.
Is that a motion?
Sure.
Is there a second?
We would conditionally recommend this for approval, provided that the questionable concerns of, about the drawing are corrected.
We need to be specific on what that is. Yeah, we need to specifically say what is questionable or not questionable.
Okay.
If I can ask Mr. Miller, he's got
raise it from that wall. Well, that would have to be part of the. Somehow that has to be incorporated into what goes before the village board.
Yeah, I think the question is just that we are set back from the potential 12 feet out here. And I think I can ask Mr. Miller if the condition, if the condition that'd be great, then I can ask Mr. Miller and I'll have it to the board.
Yeah, this, I think the whole setback line, which, as you said, it's the setback line for the original combined property, that needs to be taken off, and you need to put the what would be accurate setback lines for the two properties on here. I would want to properly identify the right-of-way for River Lane and identify the actual location of the Fox River Trail. If there are extraneous lines, historical lines that are would not be part of the map anymore, those should be removed. Identify Lazar Avenue as a dirt road at this point.
Yes. Hmm? I mean, there's a very standard and specific way that these are developed.
Okay.
And so that's not really one of the standard items that you include on there.
All right.
And the same thing with those extraneous property lines. They have to show up on there at this point.
Okay.
In
so
River
what do we need to do to get it
narrow.
To remove the questions? So
I think the big question is whether that building would be raised, even if it's left, in order to bring it into compliance and have a 15-foot rear yard. That north parcel would have to be reduced in width, and then it wouldn't meet our minimum 75-foot setback. So the big question is if that building is going to be raised. Otherwise, there isn't really a way to redo this that it would be in compliance and still have two lots.
So what's the minimum lot width that we can have?
75. And that north one is 76.99.
Will you repeat that? I'm not quite getting what's...
We require a 75-foot width parcel or along the road, width of the parcel. And right now that north one, it's made up of two sections at 25.66 and 51.33.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In order to have that house, if the house would remain, in order to have it be in compliance, it would need a 15-foot rear yard, where right now it's showing a 12-foot, and there just isn't enough room to shift that to bring that building into compliance and still have a compliant lot to the north.
So the back, the 12-foot in the back, has to be bigger than 12 feet?
It has to be 15 feet,
okay.
if they're calling the front yard Lazar.
Got it.
Because it appears that that's where their front door is facing.
So they would be more in uncompliant
if
once
they
did that.
If
right
they
now they're not in compliance.
Right.
We could live with that part because it's already there.
Right.
But they're making it...
If they make it with two lots, then it's throwing it further into non-compliance.
Got it. Right. Thank you.
So we had a motion with questions.
Right. So, well, Kendra, you're, a civil engineer, so what issues have to be corrected?
I think it's fine maybe to clarify exactly where the right-of-way for the River Lane and the Fox River Trail might be. Possibly that setback line that's along the north that's not labeled could be either labeled or removed, but other than that, I don't know that there are other items that were brought up that need to be changed or could even be changed and still kind of follow the format.
Now, is it possible that Brown County could have these same comments in the review, or they probably look at this differently than the village would?
The comments that Brown County have are that the 12-foot utility easement along the full length Lazar and River Lane. Also, the naming of the roads, River Lane is actually River Lane Street, and Lazar is actually West Lazar Avenue. There's some that came from the county. And then the county has some different verbiage in regard to the ESA that needed to be put in, and also different verbiage in regard to the erosion control note that was in there. And then they have to meet all Brown County subdivision and planning regulations. So those were the comments that came from Brown County. And this was just February 19th, this one also was that last Friday maybe. To Steve from Allen Associates, so he might have it by now. But typically, we base our approval on our ordinances and our requirements, and then if Brown County has other ones that come in play, sometimes they're after us with their approvals. They catch it and they put it on because they may have different things that they see that we either wouldn't look at typically or that the county would catch and we would not because it would be part of our ordinances. Like some of the ESA, our information on that regard may not be part of our ordinances.
Okay, so back to cleaning up the motion. Is that what Kendra provided? Is that adequate for you, Roger?
I think so. Well, we should add that all the comments from the county should be.
I think that would be a regular.
The county, in their comments, it always says ask to sign off by the village ballot. And, you know, we're approving it, and that goes to them. And then when they're approving it, then it, you know, comes back to us, and that will come back to us with their signatures, and then ours go on it. So they do sometimes catch things that we may not, or that we don't have jurisdiction over. So it isn't, well, I know Barb, that's how they do in Bellevue. Also, it's slightly different, but that's how it seems to go through the process, that sometimes we get their comments. We happen to get these ahead of time. Like the last that we did not. I got a verbal from Peter basically saying they didn't see any issues, but yet finished his review at that time for the last one he looked at. But they have to be in compliance with both before they would we would sign off on the plat or the map certified survey map.
So we don't need to specify the county comments. So really we should just stick to our comments that we have tonight. Should we retry the motion again? Now that we've had a group discussion?
Actually, I'm, you know, I think I might just withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm just not satisfied. I understand all of the elements here. And I don't see that there's, you know, unless someone can say what really needs to be done to have the map, you know. You know,
can I just comment?
You know, properly, you know, it, everything developed it the way it should be so that it's all clear. There are just some confusing elements here that I really can't speak to. I see old setback lines here that I don't know why they would stay on the map. Well, didn't you say that this setback line that's superimposed inside of the outer property line is an old setback? This line that goes around like this.
That is a current setback line.
Right.
Is this 6 foot then?
Okay.
Side yard?
Yeah.
So wouldn't you adjust that to represent a setback line that complies with the divided property? This is a map to divide the property,
right,
correct?
Right, that's typically how I would show it. That would be correct, the way I would show it typically. The only thing I didn't do is show the 6 feet there. Particularly, I wouldn't show that line, but they must have had it on there to sketch a building on there or something. Or, you know,
typically, no. The setbacks just along the right-of-way are shown.
Yeah, we just show them on the right-of-way, so it would typically be here and here, and that'd be it.
Okay.
And a water one would be on there, too. But, you know, the only real issue that I see that isn't really applying is it would be just, if you conditionally, my request would be that if you conditionally approved it upon raising the road or making that rear yard setback comply with 15 feet, that's really the only issue other than the technical issues that you're talking about aren't really state statute issues that normally would have to be complied with. But I have notes on everything you said, and I'll fix all those things.
Okay.
Just things that you prefer to see, so it's clear for you. But the only real issue is that we are set back with instructions there. That's the only thing that I really comply with.
All right. Kendra, do you agree with that?
Yeah, based on my mm-hmm. experience with these types of that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Actually, the ordinance says that they need the frontage of 75 feet, but there could be a mean width of not less than 65 feet. So then they would have to put a jog in the property, but then that building could stay there, but they would have to increase that rear yard on that. But that could be an option.
Yeah, I think that's about it. If we needed to do that,
So the last motion was withdrawn. Is there a new motion? Trustee Darden?
I'll give a motion on traffic. I think I move to approve the survey map with the stipulation that the backyard has to be in compliance with whatever goes on there. So
if the building is to remain?
If the building is to remain, the lot has to be changed to comply with the 15-foot setback.
I'll second that motion.
So we have a motion to adopt the CSM with a backyard setback to comply with the 15 feet if the building, the existing structure remains.
Yes.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay? The motion carries. And so that will go March 4th to the village board?
Yes, we have March 4th.
And now on to agenda topic 7, final review of the 2013 annual report.
The report doesn't pass to your memo. Everything that you changed about at the last meeting is highlighted. And we would just think that you had recommended you change on the report starting on page 2. It's actually third annual and it's the second. And I also found a change in that same line issue in 2013 versus 2012. And so the report is the 2013 report, not 2012. The highlighted area on top of page 3, 2013 accomplishments, it used to say 2013 major accomplishments, and there was a desire to change that verbiage. Going on to page 4, halfway down in the middle, there was a timeline more for the reviews, submitted proposals. We just changed that to ongoing because that is a continuing task that you would have. Down a little bit, there are a couple of bullets on staff and plan commission. It used to say staff or plan commission. And the date on that was changed to July 2014. And I can't remember what it was before that, but we moved it up for back. And then the last bullet in that section was added to submit the budget request for recodifying and modifying the zoning ordinance. Again, that was the July 2014 pass. And then on page 5, there's just that one bullet added at the end to put forth more effort into next year with respect to looking at overall zoning code and zoning map. That's the other opportunities to approve. And then the question that I had, Adam is listed in here, and I think we should probably leave him in because he was on the committee all through 2013. So I think that's appropriate to leave them. And I do not believe we should take Judy off, and we should not put Avon yet because they did not serve at that time. So I think the way it is looked at should be remained. We're here even though some have left the community.
I agree with that. See, it doesn't say we need a motion, and we've ticked this around for month after month after month. Is there any other comments from the Planning Commission on this? Hey, we're in 2014. It's okay. I say that we accept this, and then I guess the one, Tracy, I sent you a email in regards to Dave Dorn, just to make sure that he gets a copy of like this report, and then also any other new materials also. Welcome type
stuff. We will certainly get that out to him. We've sent him some already, and we'll give him the annual reports and some other information that he will need as well.
Thank you. And then moving on to agenda topic 8, discussion and approval of the 2014 timeline. At the last meeting, I was asked to work with Alex, our intern, and I sent him just some ideas, and it's part of it. We can move stuff around as appropriate, but I think it is a good idea that we have something to aim for in each of the quarters, and if stuff comes up, we can always add it, but it's basically for quarter one, the 2013 annual report, so that's done, so we're doing great. Begin discussion on the zoning code, and I think that needs to come for the next meeting. And then review. How many of you remember this? I remember Jim Genrich and I, Trustee Dart, you were there, I believe, at UW Green Bay. I think you were there.
Yep, I was there.
But I don't know if anybody else participated. I thought the class did a pretty good job, and it might not be a bad idea just to relook at that. I might have some of those materials, but I'm assuming, Tracy.
I can certainly get that out to you. There was a booklet that we got, and all the information, and they basically compared our zoning ordinance to our comp plan, and what was good about it, what was bad about it, and what changes they would recommend to make our zoning code a lot more compliant with our comp plan, and vice versa. So it was a good document. So I can certainly get that out to everybody.
So that might be a good introduction, but if we're talking about recodifying the whole entire zoning ordinance, they were more talking about, I mean, they acknowledged there were some major issues we had, but they were looking at more spot interim type improvements, not necessarily looking at everything. So, but it might be worth our while just for the background to look at it. And it doesn't, I mean, why jump in if some of that work's already been done? So we should probably do that for next month. And then, yes, review the existing zoning along Riverside and Hoffman. I think especially with the Riverside groups getting back together again, we should probably just take a look. And that might not take much time at all, but is the zoning what we actually want out there? Or is there things that are totally out of date that don't belong? And seeing quarter one's almost done, is there anything else anyone would like to see done for quarter one? Hearing none, quarter two. And maybe that's something we should either put a check or put a box over to the right. So as we do some of this stuff, we could just have a simple, we did that, or it's too complicated, we punted and waited till next year, or whatever the reasoning is. So quarter two, continue to work on the zoning code proposal. I think that's going to take us a while, especially if we're going to be asking potentially for funding from the village board this fall. Review the bicycle and pedestrian plan map for possible changes. The big one that's striking me is the sidewalk, like on St. Joseph, where we have it on the north side, but not anywhere else. And I know there's other streets and main thoroughfares that we have in the village that we looked at one side, and we didn't look at it holistically, looking at the whole bicycle pedestrian network. And yes, how does this fit with the upcoming village projects? And then meet with the Historic Preservation Committee. In a few minutes, I'll ask Barb to give us a presentation at the next meeting. And then discuss how to recruit additional Plan Commission members. So we're down right now three alternates, correct?
Yeah, we are down three alternates. If Dave goes in as a regular member, then we still have three alternate positions open.
So anything else for quarter two?
I had a question on the second item, review bicycle and pedestrian plan map. I didn't see that, and the document we just reviewed, which was, you know, possible tasks. Should it be in this document, or
actually
takes precedence? Because I noticed in the third quarter there's existing village safe routes. I don't see that in anything in a prior document. It's just summarized here. Which one is the one?
What we did, it's a little unusual, I think, is we actually adopted the bicycle pedestrian plan map in the safe routes to school plan. So that's kind of, yeah, it's a little bit not the way it usually is, because normally that would be a standalone element in the comprehensive plan under the transportation element. So we didn't do it that way. We just, when the safe routes opportunity came through, we just threw that in there and said we don't have a real good bicycle pedestrian map. So, yes, and some of the stuff, if it's not in there, I mean, does it matter? It's bicycle pedestrian. If it's in the safe routes to school, I think the key is that we look at the whole network.
Yes, but my only comment was that if we put together a list of tasks for 2014, and it's based on what we just reviewed before we got to this one, you know, item number 7, you know, then those two items aren't on there. That's all.
We could. Well, the safe routes to school is right. And the other one?
I didn't see it.
Or was that under our accomplishments? Okay. That's where that would have been covered.
Never mind.
No, let's check.
I just thought, you know, if we're gonna make it a task for 2014, then one or the other of these documents would probably be the one of record or the one that, you know, I didn't see it in the other one. So.
No, that's a good comment. Or was that from the year before?
I haven't even seen it in accomplishments either.
No.
I think it was the year before.
I think.
It's been a couple of years since that was approved.
I've gone through two principles since then, so it's not me.
Well, one change we could do for the timeline is we could say review the safe routes to school plan map from 2012, bicycle pedestrian map. I mean, whatever the preference is. It's a good point we didn't put in there, but I think Trustee Dart's right, it's from 2 years ago.
I don't know that we would need to necessarily change our report from 2013. I mean, we're allowed to put whatever we want on the agenda for the year, regardless of whether we planned to do it, I would think.
Yeah, it looks like in 2012, a major accomplishment was to recommend the state policy.
That's where it was from. I mean, we should probably be looking at it yearly. Especially with the TIF district or other opportunities.
Well, perhaps the question on the safe routes to school is it being implemented in any way by the schools?
Safe routes to school is not, because DOT made the change in the funding. For as part of the, before it used to be 100%, and now they moved it to 80%. And so once they made that change, that's kind of, I don't know how much the interest is wavered on that, or if people, the communities are still applying for it as much, but when it was 100%, everybody was applying for it. So I'm not aware that the Green Bay School District is actually moved forward with or implemented any of the Safe Routes to School recommendations.
They probably haven't. I mean, they've done some of the educational ones, you know, like maybe the walking school buses and school day, and they promoted that. So more the educational and that end, but any of the infrastructure type things, no, they don't really get involved in. I think a lot of times school districts, they feel it's the municipality that really has to take the lead on that. We did apply for a Safe Routes to School grant. It's really for all the infrastructure and related to Webster School in that area. We did make the first round, and supposedly I haven't been notified yet officially, but supposedly we may do the first round, and there's a second round that we need to give them some more information. So, but it isn't, like you said, it's an 80-20 versus 100% now, and it's being handled totally different now. The MPO in Green Bay, from the MPO is the one that will actually award the money. They got so much money that they can give out to Safe Routes to School programs, and we're one that applies. Green Bay also
an
application.
And Tracy, didn't that happen because now Brown County or Green Bay. The MPO Metropolitan Planning Organization is over 200,000 population, so now they're a TMA, Transportation Management Area, or whatever it is. So now they get the money. So that's the change, is because they hit that population threshold, the county or the plan commission or planning department staff, they have that say now in the money.
Right. So I guess the real question for me is, we've got a plan, and is it possible to implement it in some fashion, and what would be the way to go about that? I think that's part of our job, is to figure out, once we've got a plan, is how do we get it done, rather than just kind of shedding the responsibility. So we, you know, at least we should make an assessment on some periodic basis as to whether the plan is having any effect.
Well, if I remember right, the plan was a huge, I mean, there was a lot of wishes in there, and the challenge was prioritizing. Like, I think it even had mentioned in there, on the far north section of Webster, there's no sidewalk. So they had buy up the houses and push the sidewalk back and have a terrace area. Yeah, that we're not going to implement that. So it's some of those things were left in that plan that it's kind of like, well, maybe if there's a reconstruct level project in the future, maybe somebody would have the appetite to impact all those property owners along there. But so there's some things in the plan I didn't think are ever probably going to ever happen. Now, there's other low-hanging fruit type stuff that might happen. But no, but we haven't revisited that plan.
We could do something like look at a design standard for sidewalk installation that the village would be used as a standard for all road work that they do in the future, where we're going to have sidewalks. So we don't have the condition we have on Webster in the future.
And I think the village staff has learned that. I mean, as you see, like, they've retrofitted sidewalk on Green, and there's a lot of places. Webster is not. I walk that way to go to Austin's grocery store, and that's not a conducive environment to walk. But what this discussion brings to mind is, we do have a number of plans. Like, we have outdoor recreation plan. We have all these different plans in the village. A lot of them we never see. Now, the safe routes to school, you're right, that we should be probably looking at that periodically or every other year, and say, what should we be pushing forward or not? But the larger concern I have is, yeah, we have some of these plans that I have no idea what's in them, and maybe we should be aware or at least know what are the major items with that. So I don't know if we put that in our, we add that somewhere in our tasks for 2014, and I agree with Kendra, just because it's not in our last plan, hey, it's something we thought of, we can add stuff however we want to throughout the year. So I don't know if we want to throw a different plan in every quarter. And I mean, do we want to do the Safe Routes to School plan, the outdoor recreation plan? I don't know if there's anything besides, like, the East River Trail widening and some of the other major things. I'm not sure what else is in that plan.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly can look at those as, you know, be a good idea to keep abreast of what's going on or what are in the plans, and just look at it and pick off sections if you want. And this was sold on, go to the village board budget night and say, here's the priority section. If this is sidewalks that we think we should really work at and try to get in. So, yeah, I think that it's a good idea to look at that, because it all impacts, what you're doing and what you're looking at. The more information you have, the better decisions you can make.
Tracy, we could also look at that inclusive water plan.
Yes.
I've actually seen that.
Yeah.
And you're talking about plans that nobody's done anything with. It's, yes. But you did serve on it. There's probably a whole host of plans that we are not aware of that we should be aware of. That's fair. Now, where do we put them? Or do we just add? I mean, I think our meeting next, and we'll get to that, we're going to have a pretty packed agenda the way it is, potentially, if the Hilltop apartments come back. That's going to be 2 hours easy. So let's go on to, if nothing else, on quarter two, on quarter three, the bicycle tour past and current project sites, and we could add different parts of the village because we only kind of stayed in the northern part of the village. Same thing, submit proposal for the zoning ordinance for budget review and discussion. Discuss the safe routes to school plan, so that one we did have in there. And then outdoor recreation plan. Oh, I did a better job than I think I did. All right. But there's probably the water plan, whatever the name is for that, the ports plan or whatever the official name was.
And the alleys portion of that security plan.
Would those be review with the intent to update or review with the intent to, I mean, because we're going to go through those and things are going to stick out at us that we'll want to update. I'm sure that if that's not, I don't know whether that's our jurisdiction or is that something, because that
well,
could potentially take a lot more time than just a discussion about which parts of it we might want to think about implementing.
Like the water plan might benefit Barb more than us because like they put some of those historic plaques along the Fox River Trail. And I don't know if you're aware of those already. You are, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't done by the village here.
No, that was part of the county, and right. So, I mean, it's more just for information and for background, knowing more about the village. I wouldn't propose that we change, especially that water plan. There's no ability really to change anything. I think it's a one-time.
Okay. It's from county's plan.
Even the outdoor rep plan, or her committee takes care of that. So for us to step in and say, oh, we think this should change, that's really not planning commission's jurisdiction, that's her committee. But you can certainly review it and say, okay, what in here should we be aware of, or what should we maybe pursue or think of or send back plan her board and say, hey, we look at this, where you at on this. So I think it's a great idea to look at all those plans to see.
Yeah, well, I think one of the important things too would be to see if any plan is fighting the other plan.
Yeah, consistency with our comp plan is really the main goal, I think.
Or if there's any trails, I'm not sure, is the parks involved? What's the name? Is it the Heritage Parkway? They're looking for this, like, canoe and basically the tourism, and we already have the Fox River Trail with Heritage Hill State Park, and so we have all this good stuff. But does the parks plan know that if we're pushing for more tourism in the village, I mean, that might be... They might have some gems in their plans that maybe they aren't pushing enough, that maybe we see that perspective to say there's some more potential for economic development and tourism and whatever else that benefits the village as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the park committee is aware of the Foxville Heritage Trail or Water Trail or whatever it's called. I don't have the correct name. And are aware of that. But, yeah, I think that it's a good idea to have other people looking at it and bringing things up and bringing their attention to it because they may not know certain parts that you guys are aware of.
I know in the water plan, whatever that one is called, we mentioned tonight about the canoe launch down here. That's part of it, and Brad and I have had some conversations on that. So, and that being in there, so, I mean, it's already there, but what else can be done with it, or what improvements can be made? So,
but is the canoe launch, is it even signed? I don't remember if it is, or I just kind of stumbled upon it and asked Brad once. He said, oh, yeah, that's a canoe area. I don't even know if the public would know that's the purpose of it.
Yeah, and I don't really think it's signed well. And it's not really an approved launch at this point. It's pretty basic. And I know one of the things with the Fox Wolf Heritage Trail, they're looking at implementing improved canoe launches or kayak launches. And that's one of the sites we talked to about, and they have some programs in place to be able to put those types of structures in. So it definitely is a rustic launch at this point that's there.
Or one other area, and then I'll stop throwing them out there, is like the Sunset Trail. I mean, in the future, if Sunset is ever reconstructed, maybe there should be sidewalk in a portion there to get people from Riverside down to the Fox River Trail because there isn't that many crossings to get down to the Fox River Trail. So those are the kind of things that I guess would be my hope or intent if we review some of these plans. Not that we're going to change their stuff, but where can we put the linkages on what they're doing with what we're doing? Any other comments? Otherwise, in quarter four, begin and complete the 2014 Planning Commission Annual Report. Work with Economic Development Committee and Village staff to develop a map of vacant properties available for redevelopment. want to do more, or we're going to have enough in 2014.
Well, we talked about I was concerned about being able to submit a budget request for the consultant to update the zoning ordinance. So, and I think we have that in the third quarter here.
I didn't want to go too early because we're not ready for that yet, but I don't want to go too late and miss the budget. So.
Right.
Is there anything else to add? Otherwise, I mean, and we don't have to finalize this per se. I mean, we can just add stuff throughout the year or push stuff back, whatever's appropriate. And, like, I know budget time is tough for village staff, so if there's some things you say we don't have, and you've done this a good job in the past, Tracy, you don't have the staff to work on certain things, then push it back or come up with a schedule. So with that, please thank Alex for putting that into a table format. If hearing nothing else on number eight. Number nine, discussion of schedule of events.
You know, I'm not sure exactly what we were looking for. This was on the list of items for our next meeting. This is what I'm assuming it is, and I may be wrong. So, Roger, I think you made the motion and we're talking about it, so please weigh in, because I may be off. It seemed what I believe you were saying was to develop a schedule of all those meetings within a given year. Is that more what you were looking at, Roger, or am I fully off base?
I think I was just saying we get a monthly calendar sent out. Perhaps an annual calendar could be prepared and sent out at the beginning of the year and then updated on a monthly basis. It's really just an overall schedule of when we're going to meet.
And Sherry, maybe going on, I know on the website, you probably have the whole year out there that you could go out and go through the months, and all the meetings are listed on there.
Right.
And then we do the monthly that is sent out to all the committee members electronically.
Mm-hmm.
And that also is on the website. But we do not send out every month like an annual calendar at all. That's just on the website. Sure, maybe you want to add if there's anything I'm missing there.
And the only reason I say that is because usually we get to holiday time and all of a sudden we've got meetings that we have to either cancel or shift because we didn't think ahead that it was going to be when no one's going to be around because of the holiday. So I thought an annual approach might be warranted.
I would just like to weigh in on that. I think that saying no one thought ahead is probably kind of an extreme thought. I'm sure they think ahead, and I'm sure that when the time comes, it's really, can we go without a meeting this month because what's here for us to deal with is less, and that's more how it's done. So the meeting is scheduled with that intent that there may be an opportunity that there isn't a meeting because of the holidays, but there might have to be a meeting, so it's better to have it on the calendar. Ahead was more of...
Right. We're normally supposed to meet the last Monday of the month.
Right.
But, you know, if we just look at all of the dates, especially towards the end of the year, then we can say, you know, in January or February, we can propose changing that at that point and saying so that, you know, the public is aware that there's going to be a different date. Nobody has to think about it. We just take care of that as an order of business at the beginning of the year.
I guess one addition, we had put, if this group remembers from last year, we had put together the TIF district information. Remember, so developers would come in, they would know when planning commission meetings were or when village board meetings were. So I agree, maybe at the start of each year we take that into account and then plan around it, but I don't want to change it for this year per se. If I think we've already set that for the TIF district, or was that last year? Maybe we don't have that for 2014.
I don't know if you're referring to, we did a timeline for, like, if someone's coming in for a site plan review.
Correct. Correct.
And we said, you know, this is a meeting date. And Trevor did put one together for 2014, and we already have that all attached to our documents.
Mm-hmm.
So that is out there, and I can't remember, but I think there is a conflict, like, in the year, and he just put a TBD, and that should be determined. And maybe that's something we could look at that schedule and see where it's at, and maybe if there is a to be determined, we can make a decision that, okay, we're going to move it. But like they said, sometimes, I mean, you could certainly do that. You could move it and say this we're going to be because it's not Christmas Day.
Right.
Well, that
would
make sense.
But what if we're going to move it to such and such a date?
What if something comes up like the Hilltop Apartments came up in December and we had to have the meeting on the 16th?
Right.
Instead of the 23rd. So right. What if something comes up where you need to have a meeting in December?
Yeah, you're still going to have to adjust.
Right.
That's the thing, and I think that's why sometimes we don't do it as much ahead, because just like Sherry said, something may come up that all of a sudden we go, oh, we do have to be in December, and we try to shift it in. So I think we can do it either way, either do it early in the year or wait until we get closer and see what's going on, because if there's not a lot going on, then we can maybe just cancel this meeting. But if there isn't, like this year, we had to meet on the 16th or whatever it ended up being because we needed to meet in December.
And sometimes we might not know when we would be unavailable in some of those months.
Right.
I might not know whether on the 22nd, you know, maybe I'll go visit my parents that weekend instead of the actual weekend of Christmas, and I don't really plan those things until probably October anyway. So knowing it in January may or may not impact my schedule.
Any other further discussion on this?
So I guess the question I have is, do you want anything different than we have right now? If anyone, you know, wants something more concrete, besides the monthly put out, besides having everything on the website, the whole year is out there. There's something different that you are different way you want to handle it, or the information you want. Otherwise, we'll continue the way we are, unless you have anything else that you would like to see.
I'm kind of at month-to-month mode right now, so that's where I'm at right now.
I'm okay with it kind of the way it is. I think from my experience trying to plan stuff out and for projects or work-related stuff, once you get more than like one or two quarters out, it's kind of hard to actually know where everybody's, you know, it's hard to know the status of projects that you're working on either, even, you know, to say, well, we're going to meet September and wrap it up, and, you know. So I'm okay with it the way it is, knowing that we may have to be flexible and cancel one or schedule one when we don't want it.
Like last year, there was times, Tracy, you weren't available, and then you had Craig sit in or somebody else, and so we had to move stuff around sometimes for the flexibility that way. But I think we did a pretty good job last year. Maybe we weren't the whole year out, but we tried to be 1 or 2 months ahead. So at least we had that conversation a few times. I remember we moved stuff around. So we could still, I mean, that's a good value that we're not waiting till the last second to make these decisions. So we can look out a few months, but I'd say the village staff is doing a good job and keep doing with what you're doing. And if that changes, let's bring it back and talk about it again. If nothing else on that topic, let's go to agenda topic 10, next meeting date, March 24th, and agenda items. So looking at our quarter assignments, that's one place. Barb, would you be interested in giving a presentation that you gave to economic development?
I can do that, but that week my kids are on spring break, so our plans are still a little up in the air, so I could definitely do it
or
the next month,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
But I can't say for sure that I'd be at the 24th meeting.
Well, how many other people are having other commitments for that week?
I'm the only one with kids in school.
No kids in school. We already had that Hilltop complex coming back to us on the 24th, right?
And I definitely would like to see the plans and offer comments on that, even if I can't make it to the meeting.
And we also talked about starting the zoning code discussion at the next meeting so that we have enough time to go through the process. So those are a couple of big items for one night.
Is it possible to have the building inspector or zoning administrator? Right? Kind of.
Not really. I think he does the zoning if there's a project going on a specific lot. Mm-hmm. Then he does the zoning for that and takes care of everything. But anything beyond that, when there's zoning calls about in general questions or someone looking at a property or something, that would come to me. So.
Would there be someone who could do a general presentation on the structure of our zoning code for the commission as the initial?
Well, I think didn't we talk about looking at that plan before we really start tackling what our current zoning is? Looking at the plan by the UWGB students, what they suggested, so that we have something in our minds when we start looking at the zoning plan.
And so is that a document that we'll all sit here and read in the meeting, or?
Well, what I can do is I can get that document out to you ahead of time, and then everyone can take a look at it, and then, I could present the main components of that, and what their comments are in regard to comparing the zoning code to our account plan, and go through it that way. That might be a good start to kind of introducing the whole zoning code. So, I can go through the zoning code, the ordinance and the different criteria that's set forth. Dan, our building inspector, he could add some to it, but probably not a ton, because he doesn't get into it quite as in depth. He really looks at the specific lots and the building house on it or business and that type of thing. He looks through the zoning code, so it reminds. I can certainly do that end of it. But we might want to start with the GB plan first, just to see what they had and how that. Here's the comp plan.
I think one of the important things about that plan is that it points out how our zoning prohibits us from doing what's in our comp plan. So, before we start going through zoning, I think just keeping those, refreshing ourselves on that plan, we'll keep those in mind when we start working on the zoning.
Okay. I think my only idea is to, so everybody has a consistent understanding of how our zoning code is structured. Because I don't think we're all just that informed about it. So it's really an informational session.
I think it's a hodgepodge. I don't even know if Ralph Witte, the former zoning administrator, would have a good background on how the zoning code was developed.
But perhaps we could have a little education on a good zoning code and mm-hmm. is what it's supposed to look like, maybe. So.
Yeah, the code isn't terribly complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just need some work.
Yeah, it just needs, I think, you're right. You just said that, right, Penny, that there are conflicts between our comp plan.
Yep.
So that's really what we're trying to identify
at
the core of things. So.
Well, and I think UW Green Bay did a pretty good job of pointing some of that out.
Yeah.
So
that might be a good starting point. I'll get the plan out to you guys ahead of time. It's not a huge plan. It's not like a huge book, but 40 pages or whatever it is. For you to take a look at it, and then we can discuss it further at our next meeting. And then we get started for looking at the zoning code. Because they did a nice job, I thought, on it, and really took a lot of time comparing the two and what was in and what wasn't. Because there's sections of our zoning code that totally contradict what's in our comp plan. And it's like, boy, you could never do this because of the way your zoning code is written.
Tracy, did they have, if I remember right, they had a PowerPoint. Do you have that?
I think I do.
Because that might be helpful. Besides sending it out, then we can discuss it instead of turning pages, put it up on the screen, and just have a general discussion.
Okay.
But my intent would be we deal with Hilltop first, and then depending...
How much time we want to use.
Right.
Okay, so then for the next agenda, Hilltop is on there. There may also be a conditional use permit, CUP, for the antennas of Umbrea. That may come, I think, with the snow up there, they're not worried about it right now. So that may be on the agenda, and then we'll have, we'll get the EWGB plan, and that's it. Barbara will probably will come in April then to do. So I'll be here in April to do the intensive survey. And I can talk to Brad and see about the other presentation and see what would work for him. And depending on what's on the March agenda, maybe we'll push him out a little bit.
That makes sense.
Well, the Economic Development Committee was going to study that report for at least one more meeting.
So we should probably hold off on that. There's only one other thing I wanted to let you know about. I got a call from a professor at UWGB. His class is doing a study of the Old Village Hall site and like looking at it, how to promote it commercially, what should be there, what the zone should be, how the TIF affects it, and all that. So I'm actually going to their class on Thursday to present kind of what we're going with the village, Old Village Hall site, give them some background information. They would like to come present it to some committee. I suggested the Economic Development Committee because it really focuses on the development and sale of that property. And also maybe ABA, to come to ABA and do a presentation on it as well. But I will keep you posted on that and see where that one goes, and maybe they can come to this committee, and I also suggested village board. So,
they have all kinds of
There's all kinds of places that they can come and present it. So,
or could we have a joint meeting to get to save their travel? I mean, we've done that. Last time we've done that was a TIF district meeting, I believe, is when we had multiple committees get together.
Yeah, so maybe that's the idea. We do that now to the village board and the commission and just invite everybody out, whoever wants to come and see their presentation. So I'll have more information after I meet with the class on Thursday.
Anything else? But then for April, we're going to have to concentrate on the zoning. And what do we? And so at the next, the March meeting, we should talk about who do we need to have come in here. I mean, do we have the county, or do we invite another local unit of government? I don't know if DePere would be willing to share what they've done, or do we have a consultant, or do we have UW Extension? If they have somebody, do we invite somebody from UW Stevens Point from that government center there? So those are, I have more ideas in knowing what to do, so we can hopefully discuss that at the next meeting. Is there anything else on agenda topic 10? Hearing none. 11 is adjournment. I'd accept a motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
By Hansen.
Second.
Retzloff. I'm not going to say any discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries.